glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of our dearest Lord, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning and Sai Ram, dear listeners. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, your all-day-long live connection to Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 18th of February 2016, and the time in the ashram right now is precisely 41 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Current weather conditions in the Divine Valley are sunny, with bright blue skies, zero pollution, zero noise and air pollution, I should say, inside our slice of heaven, and the mercury is at 24 degrees Celsius right now. It is, however, expected to rise to 35 degrees Celsius in the late afternoon, with overnight lows being still quite cool for our standards. It goes down to a mere 19 degrees Celsius at night. For our American listeners, that would be a minimum of 65 and a maximum of 95 degrees in Fahrenheit. Today, once again, I have a question for our listeners this morning. So please get ready for it. But before I announce the question, I must make amends for an oversight from last week. Last week on Morning Glory, I announced the name of our listener, Sister Bhuvana Sankar from Novi, Michigan, USA. But I did not mention that her answer was correct because she had written the answer in the subject line and I had missed it. Sorry, dear Sister Bhuvana Sankar, if you're listening from Novi, Michigan, USA. Your answer was indeed 100%, or rather, I should say 108% right. Because yes, Prashanti Nilayam, the epicenter of the spiritual epicenter of the universe, was indeed inaugurated on November 23rd, 1950. I apologize for my oversight and I thank you for pointing it out. Appreciate your email. With that, let's move on to today's question on Morning Glory, and here it comes. Pay full attention. Can you name the famous pet elephant of Bhagwan Baba, whose samadhi or resting place is located on the main road here besides our planetarium? So I want the name of the elephant who came to Baba as a baby and lived to love him for decades. He described her as a great spiritual aspirant. And when she passed on, Bhagwan personally gave her an emotional and a royal send-off. I want the name of this adorable elephant who was an exemplary devotee of the Lord. And I also need your name, place of residence and country. Please email me your answers right away. You can reach me by email at karuna@radiosai.org. That is K for kite, A-R-U-N-A, at radiosai, one word, .org, O-R-G. I will be waiting for your correct answers with your name and the place where you're writing to me from over the next 30 minutes or so. During that time, I have lined up a very special conversation for you on Morning Glory. It's very special because it took many years to plan it, to record it, and to get it ready for airing. So, believe me, it's special in more ways than one. Now, here's the deal. Can you imagine doing your PhD, which is your research or doctorate, on the living avatar, under his guidance and supervision, for an external university? Well, that is what Dr. Kamala Arora has achieved. I'm honored to bring you this special conversation right now. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy. And on the side, send me the answer to the question naming the doting devotee of Bhagwan Baba who had incarnated as his pet elephant. My email remains karuna@radiosci.org. Over now to the very special conversation with Dr. Kamala Arora of Bangalore. Have a listen, please.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram, welcome to first part of a special conversation with Dr. Kamala Arora. In conversation with her is Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi, and it was recorded on 16th February 2015. Have a listen, please.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, today we have with us Professor Kamala Arora of Bangalore, an academician, a philosopher, and a long-standing devotee. She has shared a deep and long association with the divine since her youth. Very interestingly, the topic of her PhD research from Delhi University was related directly to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Let us now get on with the story of her journey to the Kali Yuga avatar, the supreme teacher to humanity, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Sai Ram Kamala ji, and a very warm welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Karuna, it's kind of you to invite me. I am blessed.
Oh, so are we. We are honored to have you. Now, why were you in? How did you get interested in this subject is what I'd like to begin with.
Actually, I'm a teacher of philosophy. I've taught philosophy for 30 years, 27 years in Delhi University and 3 years in Bangalore University as visiting professor. And some of the personal experiences of mine led me to Swami. I used to see a very blackish sort of heavy thing without any form coming and putting its pressure on my chest when I was small. And I used to get up crying and screaming, and I used to be down with fever for a long time.
This was like a nightmare?
It was not a nightmare, really. It was a reality.
I see.
It was something which I could not understand. It lasted for many, many years. And naturally, my mind went to the philosophical side of the, you know, things. Is it black energy, as people talk about? Then one day, I was sleeping in the garden in Delhi, in summers. And I saw a old man wearing a robe. I had not ever seen Shirdi Baba. But there was a japmala in his hand, sitting on the jasmine tree and holding that mala and looking towards me. He just smiled, and I got very frightened, as I used to when I used to see that black thing coming and putting its pressure on my chest. I got very afraid. I didn't know who it was. Then I said, better I not sleep here. Next time I will shift my cot to the other side and let my brother sleep this side.
This person in the jasmine tree you saw, yes. Were your eyes open or were you sleeping?
No, I was sleeping. I was subconsciously maybe aware.
Okay.
There were telephone wires passed over our house. And at night I saw that the same old man whom I saw about 3-4 days ago at night in my dream or subconscious level of mind, his feet are up and he's, you know, upside down.
Dangling
sort of, and looking towards me. His eyes are, you know, hanging like that, his feet up,
over
and looking towards me. You think that you shifting your place from here to there, I leave you? You have forgotten me. You have forgotten me.
He said it in English?
No. Tum mere ko bhool gayi. Tum mere ko bhool gayi.
In Hindi.
In Hindi. Mm. And then again I got up with very high fever and things like that. So my mind went towards all these things. Who is this? Why these things are happening to me? Is there anything called God who can come in human form? Like that, you know, I started thinking about those philosophical questions. Then I enrolled myself for MA philosophy. And by chance, I got very good marks. And then that time, I used to have future-telling dreams. As I saw my result, I've got this division and this marks and, you know, like that. And then I saw the death of a very young boy, our immediate neighbor, which disturbed me totally. He must be 35, 36. I saw he's dead, his body is here. And this is, you know, the way people are standing near the body. I had no reason to dream or think of that because he was hale and hearty. I peeped into his house, he was just roaming around. But in the evening when I came back from the university, I saw the same scene in their house. So it made me, you know, very, very uneasy. My life became very, very uneasy. Why it is happening? Then I started praying to God. I don't want to see such things. Please, I don't want to know the future. Let me live. So it went on, and then I started having very bad attacks of migraine pain. I started teaching in the Jesus and Mary College of Delhi University. And there, once I was teaching in the classroom, I was in the lecture hall, and I had this attack of migraine, and I went to the toilet. I thought I'll vomit. One girl came running after me, and she says, "Ma'am, can I give you some vibhuti of my guru? It will help you, ma'am. You have this migraine pain so often, you tell us." So I said, "I'll be very blessed. Who's your guru?" "He's from Puttaparthi." I didn't know the name of Puttaparthi. I'd never heard of it. I said, "Okay, if you have so much of faith, I'm sure it will heal me. You give me." So I took the vibhuti, ate little vibhuti, applied it on the place where it was paining, came back home. I came back home. I was so tired, I lied down in my drawing room only. I was not married at that time. So I again went to the subconscious state of mind, you know, half aware of things, half not aware of things, semi-sleepy sort of. That time, for the first time, I saw Shri Satya Sai Baba. He just came out of the wall, wearing white robe with huge hair on his head. I got frightened. And he just came and stood very near me. And he showed me his Abhayahasta. Like that he's doing. So I said, "Who are you? From where you have come?" He didn't answer. He just said, "I have come to bless you." So I said, "I'm not ready for your blessing. Please go. Please go. I'm not ready for..." I thought he's going to touch me, or he's going to kill me, or doing something to me. So he said, "Okay, whenever you are ready for my blessings, you come. You come." He said three times. And again I said, "You go." He again went into the wall and disappeared. So I was quite surprised. Who is this man? Is it? Then when I got up, I started thinking, is it the same guru whose vibhuti I've taken? She also was referring to like something Satya Sai Baba like. Is he the same Satya Sai Baba? So I wanted to know, and I ran to the bookshop to Connaught Place. Some Ramakrishna bookshop was there. I said, "Do you have any book on Shri Satya Sai Baba, South India?" He says, "Yes, a good book has come on him. He's an Australian devotee, Howard Moffat's Man of Miracles." I took that book. I saw on the cover page his photograph, his picture I saw, same man standing there. I stood there for a second. I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. And I came back home with the book. I went through the whole book. I spent the whole night. And there in the morning at 4 o'clock, I finished. And I got up. "Okay, you are my guru too. And I will come." I said, you call me. And then I kept his picture in my room. I kept Shirdi Baba's picture, because then I read about him. I discovered that he's incarnation of Shirdi Baba. Then I saw Shirdi Baba's picture. It's the same old man who came and told me, "You've forgotten me? You've forgotten me?" Like that he told me so many times. So I said, "Who am I? Who is he? Who is that old man?" So that all those thoughts disturbed me too much. But now I have something to bank upon. Maybe I will know. Maybe I will know my relation with him. Maybe he will tell me. Like that it went on. Then I was not ready to get married. I told my mother, "I'm not getting married." And, you know, we are from very conservative family and hilly area. So my mother said, no, you are my only daughter. I have sons. If you don't get married, means I will not get mukti. I will not get moksha. So you have to...
Her liberation was dependent upon your marriage.
On my marriage. So kanyadan is important, it seems. Then this, the person who I married ultimately, his proposal came. I met him once, but my mind was not in marriage. Then I told my mother, "Okay, ma, if you want me to get married, I'll ask my guru." Now, by that time, he is, you know, established guru for me. So my mother said, "How you will ask him?" I said, "I'll ask him, you don't worry." Then in the evening I lighted a diya in front of Baba and Shirdi Baba, Satsang Baba and Shirdi Baba, and I prayed, "Okay, if you want me to get married to this man, you tell me. Somehow you tell me. I don't know, you have so many ways to reach me." So when I opened my eyes, I saw two drops of honey, big drops of honey. You know, nobody could disbelieve that I am imagining. Two big drops of honey coming from the torn chola, kafni of Shirdi Baba. From that place it's coming. Two drops. And I just, you know, kept my hand under the picture and the drops came to my hand. And big drops. So I said, yes, I've asked him, Ma, and I'm getting married to him. So this is how he arranged my marriage. My husband was in the Karnataka government and then immediately I had to take leave from my college. We got married. Then he got transferred to Bangalore.
He was in the administrative service?
Yes.
And which year was it that you got
married? That 74.
I see.
74. Then we got married and, but to my horror, I discovered that my husband is a non-believer and a great critic of Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Oh dear.
After marriage, I took out the picture of Baba, which I had kept in my mother's house, and Shirdi Baba's picture, and kept it in my bedroom on the corner table. Then my husband says, who is this? I'm not going to let him be here in my bedroom. Please take his pictures off. I got very upset and said, okay, it's your house. I will not keep his picture, but he's my guru. And if he has the powers, you will take out these pictures and put it here only. You will do that. I will never do it in your house. So that sort of a thing happened in this between us. And then the years went by. Then the gynecologist told me, you cannot conceive. There is some problem there. And I, sorry, but you cannot have children. So that was another shock to me. I said, all right, I didn't resign from my job in Delhi. And I said, better I continue my job. And I had taken leave for marriage. Then I went back and joined my college. Then after 1 year again, you know, my husband said, you come back, what you're doing, this and that, we'll take a transfer to Delhi. I came back and one day on 3rd of July 1975, that is my birthday, 3rd of July, my husband gave me pleasant surprise, took me to Vrindavan.
Swami's ashram in Whitefield, Bangalore.
And that was my birthday gift.
Gift from him.
So I said, okay. So we went and on the way I'm praying, Swami, please see us. If you're my guru, please see us. Otherwise he'll criticize more and I'll feel more hurt, Swami. Anyway, we reached, we found Swami had given darshan and gone in. So that's the end of the story. And anyway, he was quite restless. He went to the Professor Narendra.
He was the principal.
Principal.
Yes.
Yes. Then he went to Professor Narendra and he said, sir, I am this. And can I meet Sai Baba? He said, you can't meet. Even the Prime Minister of India cannot meet Sai Baba like this. He said, why? No, you cannot meet. You come tomorrow. In the meantime, we saw a boy open the door, Swami's door. That time the gate was there, no, smaller gate.
Small gate, there. Small bungalow, yes.
Small bungalow. He opened the door and came. And he says, is there anybody, Aurora here? So my husband says, yes, I am Aurora. Okay, Swami is waiting for you. It was quite a surprise. How Swami knows our name? How Swami is... Anyway, we went in and Swami is standing on the door outside, on the main door of the, the bungalow. Seeing me, he says, so you have come? I couldn't speak, you know, it was such an intense moment for me. Then I just made namaskar. I didn't even touch his feet. I didn't know whether I could really touch his feet at that time. So he took us inside. He materialized a pendant for me, threw it towards me, and he said, today is your birthday, no? So that is how my story with Swami in this physical form of his coming close to us started. And then one day he blessed me inside interview room. He said, what do you want? I couldn't say that I want a child, Swami. I couldn't. I thought it's not advisable to talk to sannyasis in that way, you know. Again he asked me, what do you want? Again I didn't say anything. The third time he asked, do you want a child? I said, yes, Swami. Then he said, touch my feet. And I touched his feet. And he gave me a big thump on my head. And he said, come back with the child. And then my daughter was born. And, you know, he called her his daughter. And to name her, he came home. And when he came home, he blessed me. Now you come back with a son, he said. And then he gave me a son. He named both the children.
What are their names?
Sumana and Prem Kumar. So that is how, you know, my story with Swami started. My mind had already gone towards philosophy too much. And then I thought, you know, the India is such a prolific producer of saints and sages and acharyas and incarnations, but we do not really pay attention to them. We just take them for granted and we just live with them. We enjoy their, you know, sights, their darshan. And when they go away, we all of a sudden wake up to their glory. Oh, he was like that. Oh, was he incarnation? Can I do some work on Swami? Will it be possible for me to do some work on Swami like that? But I was very hesitant to ask him. What he will think? What I'm thinking? I'm such an intellectual or what? Then I said, no, I'll write only one paper on Swami. So I just sat and one day he called us for interview in Puttaparthi it was. The whole thing is going on in my mind. I'm teaching in university. So many years have passed by. I have not done any work. Swami came and he said, go. Then we went for interview. And all of a sudden, I found myself telling Swami, Swami, I want to do research on you. Swami said, what? So I said, Swami, I want to do research on you. I forgot about the paper totally. I thought I will write a paper, it will take 1 or 2 months and that will be over and I'll discover something about him, I'll read a lot. I said, Swami, I want to do doctorate on you. Doctorate, he said. I said, yes, Swami. Very happy, said. Then he got up from his chair. He came and with both hands he did like this to me. Tapped my head like this with both hands. And then he kept one hand on my head and he said, hota hai, hota hai, hota hai.
It will happen, it will happen.
Happen, it will happen. To the surprise of my husband. When did you think of research on him? He said later on. Anyway, it happened and then I started working on him seriously.
Dr. Arora, I may just, sorry, interrupt here. By now, I'm assuming your husband was convinced about what your guru?
Yes, that started for him from that day onwards.
And the child, blessing of the child?
All of the child and the way Swami took care of me during my pregnancy. That was more important because I had all sorts of problems during pregnancy. And my due date was August. But the doctors were not ready to do the cesarean. They were hesitant. Anyway, I was in the hospital. Swami was in Vrindavan. My husband went to him because the doctor said anything can happen to her, both mother and child. So my husband had no alternative but go. He went, Swami called him and he said, Swami, Kamala is having this problem and the doctors are saying very little chance of surviving for both mother and child. Swami, what I should do? In that helplessness, you know, he had to seek somebody's assistance and I was praying for Swami's blessings. So he had to do that. Swami, to his surprise, said, nothing will happen to her. Nothing can happen to her, he said. And then he was here till my delivery was over and he will send a message. Almost every day my husband will run up to Vrindavan and Swami was here only. And Swami will sometimes send vibhuti. Sometimes he will say, no need for oxygen, something or the other. And he was delaying. He was delaying. Then the doctor one day told, see, we have to now operate. It is dangerous and we cannot keep your wife in the hospital. And anyway, my husband again went and Swami said, what is the doctor saying? Swami, she's on oxygen, danger to both mother and child. Swami said, okay, tomorrow at 1:10, the cesarean should be done. So like that, he guided even the time and, you know, everything. And tell her not to worry. And then he materialized Shirdi Baba pendant. And he said, the moment the child comes out, you put it round. As soon as she's given birth, put it around the child. And he said, and there will be a boy. Ladka hota hai. So I said, okay. Then 1:10, the operation was done. And there was a girl, no boy. And that pendant was given to her. Now, in this process, what happened to my husband was, he completely changed. And he became a, you know, more a devotee of Baba than maybe even I was, you know.
But did he not wonder that Swami said, you'll have a little boy and you got a girl?
No, he did. He said, but I think the girl will have the traits of a boy, he said. So in any case, she does have the traits of a boy. I can tell you that. And she's a beloved daughter of Swami. And Swami has he came home to name her. And he blessed my house. That year only we had constructed a house. He told me, he said, make food yourself, I'll eat only that food. So like that, you know, he gave us so much of love, so much of care. And then I told my husband, you have no picture of Swami in your house. He took out those very pictures we had kept in the, you know, suitcase after my marriage and kept it there, you know. So this was a great assurance to me that my husband is with me. Yes. In such a, you know, holy thing.
Of course. You talking to Swami about your research.
Research, yes.
And he agreed. And
he agreed.
Much to the surprise of your husband.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. He said, "Why? When did you decide to do research?" I said, I wanted to write a paper, but somehow, you know.
From your mouth, the word research came out.
Research came out. And he said, now you'll do research. I said, yes, but don't worry, I'll take leave. I'll take 3 years leave from my university. They will give me. And they did give me. And I was sitting in Bangalore only and doing my research with my little daughter. I read a lot of books. I consulted many, many elders. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Professor Gokak.
Yes.
He helped me a lot.
Dr. V.K. Gokak, the first Vice Chancellor of the Desai University.
Correct. Swami used to call Colonel Joga Rao as my father.
Mm-hmm.
So he helped me. Whenever any devotee will come, to whom he thought I should hear his story, he will call me from my room. Look, sit down. Listen to him. Like that. So that way also I collected material, but more was from reading Kasturiji's books. Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And like that I read even other books than Kasturiji's. And all this, of course, I have mentioned in my thesis, and all of them are footnoted. Took 5 years to do my research. It was not easy, but it was very, very, you know, satisfying to me. Then Swami called us one day and he says, research ka kya hua? So I told Swami, I have almost finished. Okay, manuscript ready hai? Maine kaha, Swami, thoda rough hai, lekin ready hai.
Yeah.
Okay, you get the manuscript, he said.
So you showed him the rough, nearly ready manuscript.
Nearly ready.
Yeah.
And then he said, okay. And he took the manuscript. Then next day I discovered he had sent it to Professor Kasturi and he had told him to go through the whole manuscript. Professor Kasturi went through the whole manuscript and then Swami called us and Professor Kasturi for an interview. In the internal interview room, he made us to sit down and he asked Professor Kasturi, what do you think of this, Kasturi? He said, Swami, this sort of work has not been done so far. It's very good, Swami. And he gave me many suggestions.
Do you remember any? What kind of suggestions?
First of all, I think he told me not to give too many miracles. You know, I was writing too many. And he says, you see, it is research. And you have to give some background to Swami's philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
What is his philosophy? What is the importance of his philosophy? This is the main thing he told me.
So more academic in nature.
More academic. You have to make it more academic because it is an objective study, not a subjective study, which is very true. I mean, he corrected me right there. Otherwise, I would have had a very tough time with my, you know, professors who evaluated my thesis. So anyway, I then finished and it was Swami's blessing. He was very happy. Swami called us and he said, right in front of Kasturiji, bahut khushi.
Very happy.
Bahut khushi. And then he said, okay, isko theek karo. It was in a very rough form, so I had to put it properly and make it into, the form of a book. And then he said, bring it tomorrow or whenever you can, you are ready with it. So I took about a week doing it. And then Swami called me again and he said, okay. Then he took the book from my hand and with one hand he just touched the cover page. He stroked it and he said, you have written 8 chapters only? I said, Swami, yes, 8 chapters. No, you have to write one more.
9, divine.
9. And he said, now this chapter, you have to put me in the backdrop of the contemporary philosophy and religion, Eastern and Western, and compare me with the saints and sages of India and other religions. I mean, not only Hinduism, but Christianity, Buddhism, all those religions, you have to put me on the backdrop of that and evaluate me. Baba accepted my thesis on 29th,
187. So January.
And 26th, 287, he wanted me to submit it to the department in Delhi University. Now that day was Shivratri. That day was Shivratri.
And it's so strange that we are recording this conversation on the eve of Shivratri.
On the eve of Shivratri. That is what surprised me, Karuna. You won't believe I cried for this. I said, Swami, I can feel your nearness so much. Mm. I mean, it's you who is wanting me to talk.
And I know we've been struggling to schedule this interview for 2 years. And, you know, you have a lot of scheduling issues. And eventually it came to fruition on its own.
Yes, Karuna, it is actually what has happened when you told me, Auntie, I want to record. I was hesitant to talk about my research because, you know, I'm not such an intelligent person. Don't even know what I've written, really. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you the truth. When I read my thesis, I thought, is this my language? Believe me, is this my concept? Can I write like that? I have no intellect of that sort. It is not my writing. And I told my husband, he said, you have written, don't worry, it's you only. Swami won't come to write this. I said, yes, I know he won't come, but this is really not me doing all this. So, and then, when I went through the thesis, I was going through the thesis, I was not aware of all these concepts also, to tell you the truth. I've written on science, the interconnectedness of the whole universe. I have written about quantum mechanics and physics. I have talked about Tao of physics, the book written, Tao of physics. I've written about so much of Maya comparison with the concept that Tao of physics talks about. I was surprised. And then I went through all these 500 pages. At the end of it, I understood what I've written. I mean, when you read a thing, when you have to understand a thing, you consult so many books. Okay, I have to understand that, I have to consult. Here, I had to read the thesis in order to understand the thesis. It is as if somebody else has written, and I have to read to understand those concepts.
So who do you think wrote it?
Yes. It's my father, it is my mother, it is my guru, it is my God who wrote it. I am not really the person who has done it. It is his creation. It is his doing. He gave me the credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Now this chapter number 9 that Baba told you to write, and he told you exactly what to write, to place him in the background of a larger context of spiritual luminaries from various faiths. What was that like?
In the last chapter that Swami told me to show, what is the one thing which is common in all these saints and sages, then I have discovered, and that was love. Now, if you ask me, what is Swami according to you, I will say Swami is love. Not less, not anything else, just love. And love includes all his philosophy. Similar is the case with any saint, any sage that you take from any religion. So I call Swami the avatar of love.
Dr. Arora, when you presented your thesis to the University of Delhi in the year 1980,
87.
And early part of 87. That was quite early before a lot of people knew of Swami, because internet was not on the scene. So it was only through books and through personal contact people had known of Swami. In that age and day, what was the reaction of your evaluators and peers?
They were not at all happy. Swami told me to submit it on the Shivaratri day. And I said, Swami, 27th Shivaratri, university will be closed, Swami. He looked at me, smiled and kept quiet. And to my surprise, when I went to submit the thesis on Shivaratri day, the university was not closed. So I submitted, I could submit my thesis on the Shivaratri day. Then the department, now my professor under whom I was doing the research, though he had told me he cannot guide me on Swami, and he said, let Swami help you, I can give you my name as a guide, because I was doing research from Delhi University. He wanted to forward my thesis to the other professors, some internal examiners, 3 were external examiners, and 3 internal examiners were also to be given the copy of the thesis. Now, those internal examiners objected to the title of the thesis. Now, Swami had changed the title of the thesis also when he told me, you have to write this chapter. Swami made it as study of Sri Satya Sai Baba in the context of contemporary religio-philosophical milieu. Now, the professors objected, how we can do it from philosophy department? Philosophy is not religion. It is not spiritualism. There is another department there. You have to go to either Buddhist department or to any other department in the university, not from philosophy. Then I had to come back to Swami. I said, Swami, they are not accepting my thesis. Why? He said, I was in the darshan line. I said, Swami, they say that religion and spiritualism is not a part of philosophy, Swami. So they are saying, I cannot, you know, get the doctorate on my thesis. They will not evaluate. Swami said, who said that religion is or spiritualism is not part of Indian philosophy? Who said? I said, Swami, I don't know, but I cannot argue with them, Swami, and they want me to have a seminar to prove. Swami said, something which is already there, it's proved. How you can prove it? If there is sun, he said, can you prove there is sun? It is for them to see that spiritualism is part of Indian philosophy, he said. And he said, you don't go to them, you go and see Shankar Dayal Sharma. Shankar Dayal Sharma was
Dr.
at that
Shankar
time.
Dayal Sharma.
Dr. Shankar Dayal Sharma ji, he was at that time the president of India and the chancellor of Delhi University.
Oh, perfect.
So I didn't know.
And a very ardent devotee of
very ardent
Swami.
Oh, God. Yes. And I was so hesitant, I have to see the president of India. Then my husband said, don't worry, we will try to get an appointment if Swami's blessings are there. Now he had started talking in that line. If Swami's blessings are there, you will get, don't worry, don't worry. So anyway, I was all the time nervous, but my husband was able to get appointment with the chancellor, and we went to see him. He said, you come to my house, he said. So we went to inner side of his this thing, and there he said, okay, it seems you have done research on Swami. I said, yes, sir, I have tried to. Okay, okay, very good, very good. You know, I did research when you were perhaps not even born. And then he called his wife. Hey, suno, idhar aap dekho, ye kon aaya hai? She has done research on Swami. He made me feel so important. I was so surprised, so much of, this love and respect they gave me. And then he said, you have tea with us. And then we had tea and all sorts of eats and everything. And it was some sort of a celebration. You know, it appeared like that. And he sat with us for 15-20 minutes, can you imagine? And then he said, don't worry, sabhi log ka ladai hai aapas mein. They are fighting amongst themselves, therefore you are suffering.
This academic rivalry.
Yes. So anyway, then my thesis was pushed through, and then after 1 year, the whole thing was done, and they called me for interview. And mm-hmm. when they called me for my interview,
for the viva,
there were about 5 professors. So anyway, I
told Swami, Swami, they are calling me for interview, Swami. Very good, he said. Very, very good. He said, research ho gaya. I said, Swami, they are calling me for viva, Swami. And he said, bahut tough viva hoega.
Oh, so you'll have to defend a very tough interview.
Bahut tough viva hoega. So I
got
more nervous.
Scared.
So I said, Swami, aap mere saath rahenge to mere ko kuch dar nahi. Tumko dar nahi hai na jab Swami hote hain to.
So he assured you that if, he said, if you're with me, I won't be afraid.
My mother was also there. That was the greatest blessings. My mother was also there in that interview, and Swami got the chair for her to sit down. The whole room was full. Swami said, idhar aao. Then I went and
come
said,
here.
Cup your hands, like, you know, like we take prasadam. He said, do like this. So I cupped my hands, and he kept one hand under my hands. And with another hand, he went on producing bundi.
Oh.
You understand that sweet?
Sweet, prasadam. Little, yeah, granules of that sweet mithai that we eat, the prasadam we get in the mandir.
Yes. So with one hand, he went on taking it up, and from there, the bundi fell into my cupped hands. It started overflowing. And then Swami said, oh, okay, okay, okay. He said something like that, and it stopped. And then Swami kept the hand and put, with one hand he distributed to each and every person who was present. And then he also remembered that my son was also, there was a tiny boy at that time. And he said, where is your son? And my son, seeing the bundi falling from that fart into the hands, mother's hands, is what is happening? So he got afraid and he was hiding behind his father. So Swami said, "Tumhara ladka kahan hai? Where is your son?" So I said, "Swami is hiding behind his father." "Okay, okay, idhar aao. Hey boy," he said. And he came, and Swami gave him also. Little was left, and Swami said, "You take." I said, "Swami, you." He said, "No, no, it is for you." Then I took it, and then more beautiful for me that day was, he produced a very beautiful pendant. It is Swami's picture only with Abhay Hasta, like he came to my, first time when he came to my subconscious state of mind. Then he asked my husband to come forward. Swami was holding one side and my husband was holding the other side, and they put it for me around my neck.
Dear listeners, it's a beautiful oval shaped stone which has a color picture of Bhagwan raising his right hand in a "Why fear when I am here" pose, Abhay Hasta, and Bhagwan is smiling and he has many garlands around his neck, and it's quite a heavy locket because I would say it's about an inch and a half in length and maybe about an inch across, and is surrounded by a very delicate frame of many, many diamonds.
52 diamonds, he told.
Oh, he said apparently 52 diamonds, and is strung such a heavy locket on a very delicate thin chain.
Because that is another story, maybe some other time, if we have time.
So it would make you feel so fearless and confident to wear something like this, I guess.
And then he made me to wear this, and then he told me, go, face the interview. You'll have a tough interview, he said.
So he prepared you that it's going to be a tough grilling session.
Exactly.
When you defend your
exactly.
thesis.
And I was nervous because of all, you know, ups and down in the university and in fights and all in the department which I came to know of. Swami had called my professor to Vrindavan. His name was R.C. Pandey of Delhi University. And that time Swami had materialized a ring for him and gave it to him.
So before you defended your thesis, your professor had already been introduced to Bhagwan and received his blessings.
Exactly, Karuna.
Imagine the detail he went to.
Yes, exactly. Only our mother can do that for us, no? So I went for the interview. And the interview lasted for about nearly 3 hours.
Oh, longer than a movie.
Longer than a movie. And they went on grilling me, this and that. What is the use? This world is full of suffering. What will he do for this? And I said, yes, I mean, I proved maybe some other time when you talk about the philosophy of Swami, I will tell what all he told me to talk to the professors about, and prepared me with that also.
Tell us, what did he tell? How did he prepare you for the interview?
I mean, Swami's philosophy, I've said in my thesis, is only in one word.
Love.
Swami can be just summarized in just tiny little thing, one word, love. His philosophy is love. Swami is love. Swami's direction to humanity is love. Everything he has, he is the incarnation of love. If you ask me, who is Swami? Swami is love. Nothing this side, that side. And that is what he proved to me, that he is love. In so many different ways. Anyway, I went, faced the interview, tried and answered all the questions, and one of the professors said, you seem to be a very staunch devotee of Sai Baba. I said, yes sir, I am. I have no doubt. I have, and no hesitation also to admit. And in course of my research, I become a stronger devotee of Baba. But in my research, all of them agreed that I have not said anything which is subjective. I have tried to keep everything very, very objective, and I've given proofs for that. All agreed to that. Then they said, okay, we give you the doctorate degree here and now. And they said, this sort of work has not been done from Delhi University, and we are happy and proud that you have done this work on one of the most popular living form, on a living saint. I said, yes, but for me, he's the incarnation of God. He is love. He is incarnation of love. If you want to see what is love in objective form, you can just see Swami and you will know. When they told me that we are giving you the doctorate degree here and now, and then they said, one professor who was always very, you know, critical, he said, has he produced anything for you? I said, yes, sir. And then I knew why Swami had given me that locket.
With 52 diamonds.
With 52 diamonds. And I then took it off and I gave it to them to see, and each one of them touched it on their forehead and they looked at it very, very carefully, and many of them counted the diamonds. I don't know why Swami had to make such a show of the whole thing.
Because he knew what would appeal to them. Their
Maybe.
Mind was not on his glory as much as on his ability to create a piece of carbon.
Please. Yes. So that is very, very, very correctly put, Karuna, very beautifully put by you. And I think exactly the same thing. And then they returned it to me and my research was over. And then, from there, the call in the evening came. He was, Swami was there in Vrindavan, and Srinivas phoned my husband.
Uh-huh.
Bhaiya, bhaiya, didi ka phone ka kya hua interview?
He wanted to know how your interview
yes,
went.
Yes, how my interview was. So he said, she's just coming up back from the university, and the interview is successful, and she's been given the doctorate degree there and then. He was so happy. Oh, Swami was inquiring, and Swami wants you to come.
Wow.
Okay. Then we came back immediately that evening, and to my surprise, Swami was not here. He had left for Puttaparthi. Then anyway, we went to Puttaparthi. When we went to Puttaparthi, I was excited. Swami will do something. Swami will give me this. Swami will be very happy, and this and that. And next day, I was sitting in the darshan line, first line. Swami came. From far, he saw me. But when he came near, he turned his face and changed the direction of his this thing, his path, and went towards the other side. And then for 5 years, he did not look at me. 5 full years. And I don't know what wrong I have done. I've spent my whole life talking and thinking about you, Swami. What is this? Anyway, 5 years, and that is the reason why I locked my thesis and kept it inside my locker. No, I'm not going to look at it. I have not done it. I am just, no, not capable of it. Something has gone wrong. Swami is not happy. He stopped talking to me. Why they have to give me degree? And I cried and cried and cried. But then, in the last interview that Swami gave me, 2008, he had called me from Bangalore. Call Kamla, he said. And then he took us in between to Bannerghatta to see lions, it seems. He was not talking to me, but he had taken my family and me also, and there also he neglected me. He took us to Bannerghatta, only our family and some of his students.
National Park. Banerghatta National Park.
Why? Because he wanted to show lions to my children, it seems. He told my husband. So anyway, we went, we had food there with Swami, and there, Swami, for the first time, only one word he uttered to me, Dr. Kamal.
So he acknowledged your doctorate.
Yes. Dr. Kamal, he called me. And then in 2008, I was not well. He called me from Bangalore. He said, ask her to come. My husband had come to tell that Kamala is not well. He said, no, no, she is well. Call her. Ask her to take taxi alone and come. Nothing will happen to her. So I took taxi alone. My blood pressure was very high. Anyway, I came and I sat here. Swami saw me in the evening, didn't talk to me, went inside. Next day, he called me after so many years for interview. And in that interview, he told me, Tumne mere upar research kiya na? I just didn't know whether to
say yes or no.
No.
Whether you had done research on him or not.
What sort of research is this? I should not have done, I thought. Then he said, my trust will publish your thesis. He gave me that and he kept his hand on my head and he smiled. It was a very enlightening experience. But because I had just kept it locked, I had forgotten everything that I've written, but you made me to revise the whole thing and to understand what all I have written after reading it now.
So one of the most fascinating encounters you had with Bhagwan during this time when he was guiding your PhD was he actually personally questioned you as to who you thought he was.
Very correct. Karuna, I was always wondering when I was doing work on Swami, that who is Swami, you know? Is he Vishnu? Is he Krishna? Is he Rama? Is he Shirdi Sai? Or he is all in all? So one day Swami himself asked me, what are you trying to say in all the work that you are doing on Swami, he said. I said, Swami, I'm trying to say that you are Shiva Shakti. I just said like that because I was not sure. But Swami immediately retorted, no, don't say that. Swami is Dattatriya. He said, Swami is Dattatriya. And he very kindly recited a shloka for the benefit of everybody present there. I could not quite catch it. But out of shyness and hesitation, I could not gather the strength to ask him to say it again for me. The desire to know remained in me. One day called us for interview again. All my family were there. Bhagwan, who knows our minds, who is always there in our minds, looked at us very compassionately as if to say, I know what you people want, and mercifully made a gesture to us to take namaskar. I was the first to jump at the chance, forgetting about my husband who was also there and that we should make namaskar together. That is what Swami always said, make namaskar together, husband and wife. Forgetting everything and behaving like a starved person who has not eaten his food for many days, I was in a great hurry to touch his feet. Seeing my madness, Swami smiled very compassionately and lovingly. In a moment, I saw his form changed into the form of the Dattatriya. It was just for a flickering of a second.
Can you describe it?
Yes. As I stood spellbound, I saw his form coming back to Swami, Swami's form, and I heard him saying, Chusko.
Take namaskar.
What I saw, whatever I remember of it now is, I have that one photograph of this sort of form in my puja room. I saw Swami's face when he turned towards me, changed into three faces. Very quick. And his hair, absolutely very brownish sort of a color. And it was not very clear, of course. And slowly all his three forms, three faces looked at me. And then they changed. That's all. But his face was full of vibhuti. There was some whitish touch to it. his hair were like a sannyasi, you know, pehle hue bal. Matted ears also, some of them. That's all that I remember.
No dogs, because he goes around with dogs.
No. Mm-hmm. I said just, I
about
saw
the
only
head.
Just that I saw. And, but it was for a flickering of a second. Like that he went. That's all. And he turned towards me. And, you know, there was a look of far away.
Hmm.
Very distant. I was so odd. I was not able to move. Nobody else could see that. He said very loudly, "Chusko."
Take namaskar.
Yes. Took namaskar again and again. And then when I came out, I was trembling completely. And my children were also with me. My daughter and my son and his Swami's student. And he held me. He saw me trembling completely. He said, Ma, he went on saying. Then I remembered, I am here. I'm walking. It was for a second, you know, it took me off this world. I was in such a daze.
Mm. And he confirmed that Dattatreya...
He confirmed to me...
...identity with the vision.
Yes.
In person, my
in
God.
In person, he told me, I am Dattatreya.
Mm. Very powerful.
Very powerful. I think in that 1 second, he told me who he is. Mm. He is Dattatreya, my guru.
Now, Dr. Arora, my question is that... when you look back in hindsight, and you know hindsight is always 20/20, what do you see as the reason for him suddenly giving you the cold shoulder after so much of attention, so much of personal guidance and help that he did for you to get this PhD project off the ground and to conclude it with success, that you were awarded the doctorate degree, and then he completely physically ignored you for 5 long years. When you look back, what do you make of it?
Very good question, Karuna. It's a person like you only can ask this. See, I think it's a very subjective answer.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, whatever you say, whosoever we are, however evolved we are, the ego, ahankar, is a very, very big thing. I did start feeling in my university, my professor said, I am the person who has done, research on Sai Baba. Such a popular saying. Not consciously, but in my subconscious and unconscious mind, the thing went. And Baba had to pluck it out from there. And I took long time. I was not so fully evolved. And a person who does research on Swami should be evolved soul. You have to evolve with the work that you do. And maybe I stood there, you know, my place was down below, work was high up, and Swami had to pull me up. And all these years I was just thinking of these things. I had not forgotten, what is Swami, what wrong I have done.
So much introspection.
Introspection. And that made me a better person, I think. Otherwise I would be just talking about, I've done this. That Swami did not want. And because of his... cold shoulder to me, I stopped talking about my research. I did not. So many people also came to my house. I saw internet people are inquiring about where is her thesis, why she is not publishing, we want to have a copy of her thesis. There's a very well-known sociologist, Rahela, I had written an article called Sai Avatara in Bhavan's journal. He had seen that article and he said, sister, I want you to talk about your thesis to us in the university. I said, brother, I cannot. I don't feel like. And that was a very good chance for me to go and show off and, you know, to say I am such a big scholar. And that I had been given the medicine. You are not a scholar.
You are not the doer, basically.
You are not the doer.
Mm.
You are not scholar because you are not the doer.
I think that's the tough challenge at all times, to remember that anything good that flows through us is his doing.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
And that's where we lose our heads, right? We think, the accolades belong to me, but they belong to Swami.
Exactly. Mm. And it is he who makes us to do. Mm. We are just the instrument.
Exactly.
Nothing else.
Wow. Dr. Arora, you have obviously had a deep kinship with the Sai Avatar, Shirdi Baba, Sri Satya Sai Baba, since your childhood, because you had so many mystical experiences. and then you had great personal interactions with Bhagwan, and you have also studied him as a scholar from an academic point of view. But today, when you look back, who is he for you? Who is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba for you? At the end of the day, whether you are a devotee, a scholar, or a PhD holder.
See, as I told you, he's my Valentine, he's my love, and love is there in the whole cosmos.
Mm.
There is a very beautiful song by Rabindranath Tagore.
Mm-hmm.
He says that in the whole cosmos, the Ananda Dhara, the stream of bliss, Ananda, is flowing through the whole galaxies, all the galaxies and the whole cosmos. And that Ananda Dhara, that Ananda or the bliss is there because there is love. Even the atoms in the crystals make a pattern in which they are. And that pattern remains there because of the law of attraction. And when the pattern is broken, they go out. Nowadays, they are same, no? They go out and make another pattern. So the interdependence of the whole universe, the interconnectivity of the whole universe is there. And through that interconnectivity, the Ananda Dhara, the blissful music is flowing in all the galaxies, the whole universe. That Ananda Dhara is Swami. He is the universe maker. And how he makes the universe? Because of his bliss. And the universe is interconnected. And why bliss? Because of love. Love is flowing through the whole universe. That is what I feel. I think Swami's main emphasis is on getting the humanity which is at the crossroad of suffering out. Get them out of this problem of materialism. Put it on the royal route of spirituality. How? Now, Charvaka materialism has come into vogue. Eat, drink and be merry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, we are wanting pleasure without any anchor.
Instant gratification.
That is it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says we have to come out of all these things, materialism. And how do we come out of it? Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa. That is the easiest thing that he tells us.
Five human values of truth, love, peace, right conduct and non-violence.
And non-violence. Even the UNESCO constitution says that since the war begins in the mind of man, it is in the mind of man that we have to construct the peace. Mind has to construct the peace, then only this fear of war will go away from the world. Why war? Because of so much of materialism. So Swami says you have to fight that with the help of these values. Why? Because he says man is basically animal, then you have to come to humanity, then you have to reach divinity. Till man reaches divinity, you are not safe. You have to help yourself and others. And with the help of these values that he gives, the basic value is love. Then only we can take this humanity to a place where it is safe and sound. God, in his compassion, comes down to save humanity. And it is time that, you know, humanity should be saved. And there are some people who want instant solution. Now, this is one thing that has happened in the interview room. There is a person who is asking Swami, Swami, can you convert the ocean into oil? Swami said, yes, I can. Swami, then why don't you do that? Because then it will solve so many problems in the world, Swami. We'll have a whole ocean of oil. Swami said, yes, I can do that. And but only one problem I have. That suppose a person like you is standing on the beach and just smoking a cigarette. And after smoking the cigarette, you throw it into the ocean. What will happen then? So you can imagine. So that is why instant solution to the problems that we have now is not there. And he says that we have three things in us. Animality, humanity and divinity. And he says we should take ourselves from animal nature to human nature to divine nature. And this divinity, it permeates the whole universe, and this is in each one of us. According to Swami, we all should be one. Because we are ultimately divine, and we should look at each other in with that divinity. Like Islam mein bolte hain, Salaam Alaikum, peace be to you. In Hinduism, we should say, you are divine, I am divine, therefore, we should do seva to each other, we should look towards each other as divine people, not just merrymaking or trying to cut each other down or bring in your ego in the workplace.
Or saying that my faith is better than yours.
Or to say that my faith is better than your faith. Purity is something that Swami gives importance to. Purity. And to the underlying oneness of all the religions. Now, for example, he advocates Sanatana Dharma, not in the sense of Hinduism, as a way of life and also as the ocean in which all the other religions come and join.
It's like the background.
Christianity is a part of it, Islam is a part of it, Zoroastrianism is a part of it, like that. So it's an ocean of religions. In that sense, he takes Sanatana Dharma. And now, for Gandhiji, the main thing was Sarvodaya, isn't it? In Renaissance period, in political Renaissance, we had so many revolutions. We had spiritual revolution, we had knowledge revolution, we had political revolution, agriculture revolution. We are now requiring, if you ask me, a moral revolution. Very, very much it is required. And in this moral revolution, Gandhiji said Sarvodaya, to come out of it, that the kalyana of everybody, and for Sarvodaya he gave the path as Satyagraha. How you get to Sarvodaya? Because Satyagraha, you follow Satyagraha, get the good of everybody. For Bhagwan Baba, not Sarvodaya is not enough. He says Sarav Atam Bodhya. Everybody should realize, I am the divine soul. How do you realize that? When you discover the same thing that he talks about, the five values, you follow the five values. The main value is, of course, the value of love. When you love each other in that spirit of love, you do seva to each other, you take care of each other, you leave aside your ahankara, you are going towards Sarvatam Bodhya. So he talks about Sarvatam Bodhya is his main thing where he wants us to reach. But the Sarvatam Bodhya is a thing which you cannot reach by just thinking about it. You have to practice through service and seva. And we see Swami's seva, his love, reflected in all the social service activities that he undertook as our guru. So he has given us an example of doing seva. And he has also given us an example of inter-religious harmony. Now one Christian cobbler, I wanted to tell you the example of the story of that cobbler. He was very sick. He used to sit outside Prashanti Nilayam. But he had no money to treat himself. He had a family also. And he wanted to go to the hospital. But he thought, he's a Christian. Nobody will treat me in Baba's hospital, he thought. So he did not go. One day a boy saw him coughing and all. And said, Baba, why you don't go to the hospital? Come, I'll leave you there. He said, no, better don't leave me there because nobody will look at me. No, you come. He left him there. Doctors attended on him. He was treated for 10 days in the hospital till his wife was called. They were given free food, free service, everything. After the end of it, 10 days, he recovered. And he asked the doctor, when you are sending me home, doctor, you can go tomorrow, Baba, you can go. Okay, can I go tomorrow? But I have no money to pay you, all the bills, I have no money to pay you, doctor. But I will earn and slowly and gradually I'll give you the money. He said, no, your bills have been paid. Who has paid you the bill? And the photo of Swami was there. He has paid you the bills, your bills. Really? But I'm a Christian. No, no question of Christian and Hindu here. He has paid your bill. Then he started crying there and he says, he's my Jesus, he's my Jesus. So this way, with our action and with our seva, we can overcome all these problems that are existing in the society. So this is another topic now, maybe some other time, God's willing. I would like to give a message of Swami to all the people who are listening. Swami says that yes, miracles are important, but miracles are my just visiting cards. I catch your attention by miracles, but you should not remain there, only there. You have to rise up. He says, arise, awake, O devotees, to the call of the divine. He says, I call upon you to radiate the devotion within you so that its power will envelop all those who come into your orbit. My mission has reached a point in time when each one of you has work to do. Planet Earth has a purpose in the great galaxy in which it is held. That purpose is unfolding before your eyes. To be able to play your role, remain centered on me. Impart the purity in your heart to all fellow beings and all living creatures. And do not reach out for the fruits of your work. You are my instruments from whom this love could radiate. The moment you let your ego descend on you, my work with you will cease. When you overcome the negative attitude, you will again be my source. The intensity of my love will be felt throughout this world. My work is ceaseless, and so too is your work without an end. The time is approaching when all humanity will live in harmony. That time will be here sooner than you think. Prepare yourself to realize the true purpose of existence. This is the purpose. It's a magnificent beyond description. Baba.
Very beautiful and inspiring words, profound conversation. Dr. Kamala Arora, on behalf of Radio Sai, I want to thank you deeply for sharing such a wonderful, incredible, never known to the world before experiences of yours.
Thank you, Karuna. I am really blessed. Thank you so much.
Sairam. Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, you just heard the first part of a special conversation with Dr. Kamala Arora. In conversation with her was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi, and it was recorded on 16th February 2015. You can mail your feedback to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you, and loving Sairam from Prashanth Nilayam.
Sairam, and welcome back to Morning Glory. We are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Today is the 18th of February 2016 and the current time in the ashram right now is 52 minutes past 10 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. The temperature outside the studio right now is 29 degrees Celsius and is likely to go up to 34 later in the afternoon. So what did you think of this conversation, this special conversation with Dr. Kamala Arora? I'll be looking forward to your feedback by email, and next week I hope to bring you another standalone interview with her, and this one focuses on her understanding and study of the First Lady of the Sai Movement, Her Holiness Mother Ishwarama. Please be sure to tune in to Morning Glory next Thursday at 9:40 a.m. And now I am pleased to announce the names of our listeners who got the answer right to my question about the name of Bhagwan Baba's pet elephant. And your response has been quite impressive. Well, the great devotee who incarnated as Baba's pet elephant was named Sai Geeta. That is right. Sai Geeta was the elephant. And the following listeners got the answers right. Now, what I did, I put them in two separate categories. Let's see first how many people got it right from Bharat or India. We had listeners from Bangalore, Mumbai, Coimbatore, Chennai, everywhere. So, Kolkata. So, the first name is Kaushal M. from Bangalore. Brother Kaushal M. got the answer right. Congratulations. Also, Sister Priyanka Malvi from Mumbai. Sister Dharini Narayanan from Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu. Brother Mohan Janardhan Pula from Chennai. Brother Tarun Kanti Ghosh from Kolkata. Sister Bhuvana Ganesh from Bangalore. Brother Sai Krishna from Hyderabad, Sister Padmavati from Chennai, Brother Ajoy Bhattacharji from Jamshedpur, Sister Sai Sudha Sasi Kumar from Mumbai, and Brother V. Desikan from Coimbatore, as well as Sister Shaila Deepak Rao from Mumbai. Congratulations to all the Bharatiyas who got the answer right. Now let's see how our devotees or listeners from outside of India did. We have right answers from many places, including a few in the Middle East, Mauritius, Hong Kong, South Africa, and so on. So let me read the names. Brother Devraj T.N. from Abu Dhabi, Sister Sunita Menon from Bahrain, Mala from the Sai Blessed Island of Mauritius, as she described it, Shankari Subhash from Dubai, Brother Ashok K. Kriplani from Hong Kong, Brother Subhash Lakshmi Narayanan from Dubai, Brother Nilesh Bhagwan Das from Durban, South Africa, and Brother Bala Manyan from Bahrain. Congratulations to all of you and thank you for your participation. You were all absolutely right. Dear listeners, as I bid you Sai Ram and offer morning glory at the lotus feet of the Lord, let me remind you what Swami says about the right day to celebrate his birthday. He says, when a love for God sprouts in our hearts, that is the moment when we should celebrate his birthday. So I hope that this episode of Morning Glory has made you feel closer to God. And why not close it with a beautiful birthday song I just discovered in the repository this morning. I'm going to play it for you. Please enjoy it. And till we meet next Thursday, please be well and joyful and stay in union with God. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram Jagvandana Yug Avatara Sai
Sai Kripa Karuna
Sai Sharan Sukhda
कार है बाबा तुम्हें कोटि प्रणाम है बाबा
तेरी जय जयकार है बाबा तुम्हें कोटि प्रणाम है बाबा
जन्म दिवस है अभिनंदन है खुशियों से रोशन जीवन है
जन्म दिवस है अभिनंदन है खुशियों से रोशन जीवन है
युग अवतारा जन्म तुम्हारा
युग अवतारा जन्म तुम्हारा हम पर उपकार है बाबा तुम्हें कोटि प्रणाम है बाबा
हम पर उपकार है बाबा तुम्हें कोटि प्रणाम है बाबा
हैप्पी बर्थडे टू यू साईं बाबा हैप्पी बर्थडे टू यू साईं बाबा हैप्पी बर्थडे टू यू साईं बाबा हैप्पी बर्थडे टू यू साईं
के तुम हो दाता प्रेम स्वरूपा विश्व विधाता दिन दुखियों के तुम हो दाता प्रेम स्वरूपा विश्व विधाता शरण तुम्हारी जो भी आता जीवन खुशियों से भर जाता तेरी महिमा पार है बाबा तुम्हें कोटि प्रणाम है बाबा तेरी महिमा पार है बाबा तुम्हें कोटि प्रणाम है बाबा हैप्पी बर्थडे टू यू साईं 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 बाबा కడలాదిన్ సాయి రూపం పెదవులపై నినదించెను సాయి నామం కన్నులలో కడలాదిను సాయి రూపం పెదవులపై నినదించెను సాయి నామం ప్రతి హృదయంలో జన్మదిన సంబరం సాయి జన్మదిన సంబరం సాయి జన్మదిన సంబరం సాయి జన్మదిన సంబరం जग करता है तेरी पूजा तुम बिन कोई और न दूजा ओ, जग करता है तेरी पूजा तुम बिन कोई और न दूजा सब धर्मों के तुम रखवारे शरणागत सब भक्त तुम्हारे धर्मों के